receive the blood. Receive that blood upon our minds. Receive it upon our emotions. We receive it upon our desires, upon our will. Lord, we bring it as an offering. We bring our hearts as an offering. We come just as we are, with all the bondages, with all the deceptions. With all the seeds that have been planted by the enemy, we come with the deceptions in our hearts as an offering. We come just as we are, Lord. We ask that the blood will bring judgment.
Oh, yes.
Upon every work of darkness and hell, even this mind of hell, even this which is hostile to you, they might break down all the strongholds, all the deceptions of the enemy, break down. In the name of Jesus. Let the windows of heaven, let the fountains of the deep be broken. Let it flow like a river. Let it come like the rain. Let it come like the bright dew upon even the mountains of Zion. For it says, like the dew upon the mountains of Zion. So for there you commanded the blessing. Even this morning, O God. And you bring us to the mountains of Zion. To that place of freshness. That place of the anointing of the body. Anoint us, O God. With fresh oil.
Amen.
With the dew, with the spices. Let there be a resurrection, O God. Let that which is dead come alive within all the regions of our soul. Let the graves be open. Hallelujah. Let the graves be open, O God. We receive our dear ones from the dead. We comfort from the dead. We say our soul will not remain in hell.
Hallelujah.
We comfort, O Lord, by the precious blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We take away every garment of death, of mourning, of sorrow, of carnality, of worldliness. By the blood of Jesus. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus. We receive the life that He brings to us. We receive life. We receive Your life, oh Lord. We receive Your energy. We receive the invasion of heaven into us. Hallelujah. We receive from You, Lord. Blessed be Your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just want to share a few thoughts, a few scriptures. From the book of Romans. Early this morning, the Lord began to open some scriptures to me. I was saying to my wife, I have never seen it this way. But she said, that's what you have been preaching. I said, yes, I've been preaching it, but I saw something new this morning. Amen. I hope I can convey it. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 6 of Romans 8 says, for to be carnally minded, is it possible to have the scriptures on the board? Okay. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, if you look at that scripture, there are two kinds of mind. I'll put it the other way, there are two dimensions in which the mind can express itself. There are two dimensions. The mind, okay, well, the mind is the highest dimension of my soul, of your soul.
Yeah.
It's the highest frequency in which the soul of man can function, can abide.
Hallelujah.
And the mind can either go to the left or to the right. It can either go in the flesh or it goes in the spirit. The mind is represented by the ego, we all know. And the ego is the only creature that can fly into the sun. The brighter the light, the more the ego can soar. Hallelujah. But there are different classes of egos. There are different classes of egos. Some egos will only eat that which has life. They only eat that which is moving. And that's why the ego, as far as it can get, has a very keen eyesight. Of course, if you get into medicine, you begin to analyze all these, the cells in the eyes of ego, they're very unique. They're designed to see from far. They can pick out a little detail from very far distances. And the ego is able to see the little bird on the ground,
yeah,
and fly and pick it. And then goes off. But there are some other egos that only feed on that which is carrion, that which is dead and lifeless. So the Bible says that where the dead body is, the egos will gather. Now, those egos are the vultures.
Yeah.
If you know a little bit of biology, you will know that the ego family is big. And within that group, you have the vulture, and then you have the bald-headed, well, you have the different kinds. We won't go into that, but you have the other egos that only feed on life, that which is living. So it is in the spirit, that the mind can either function in two dimensions. When we say the mind is very far, that is your mind. The way your mind functions, you can either feed on the life of God or thrive on the things which are dead. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says that that which is carnally minded is dead.
Yeah.
And that which is spiritually minded is life.
Yeah.
There are two dimensions. in which the mind can operate. And the Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity, is an enemy.
Yes.
Is hostile to God.
Yes.
Is not subject to the law of God. And it does not have the ability to do so. In other words, it has crossed the barrier. There is a boundary in the spirit. There is a boundary in the spirit in which a man comes to, or the mind comes to, that he loses the ability to respond to God.
Oh my God. Jesus.
And that is that's what the Bible calls. Yes, that is the reprobate mind. And the world is coming, going, and rushing to this point with great speed. The world is turning away from God. The mind of man is turning away from God. And it remains a little while and it will cross the barrier. And the Bible calls it midnight. Midnight is the time in which the mind of man will have crossed the barrier. It will have come into the place that is referred to as 666. 666, you may say it's computer, you may say whatever it is, fine. We're not looking at those. Those are very, very pedestrian. Well, those are really not the aspects we're interested in. It may be there. But we're looking at the dimensions of the spirit. But you see, as it is in the natural, so it is also in the spirit. That as man, as carnal man, is receiving an anointing, is receiving a liberty to turn from God,
yes.
So also is a spiritual mind receiving an inspiration from God to turn completely to God. So those two things are happening in the world today. Because there are two dimensions. When God made man, he gave man with the ability to either go into the spirit and to be lost in the spirit, or to go far away from God into darkness and be lost from God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So when he made Adam, he said he was a living soul. He was in a place of, if you permit the word, equilibrium. That is, he was in a place of balance. He could either go to the right or go to the left.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he chose to go to the left. So Adam died and his mind began to turn from God. His mind began to desire things that do not have the life of God.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the life of God. The things that have the life of God are the things we should feed upon. So Leviticus tells us, it gives us a list of, you know, clean animals. Those are the ones that have the life of God. You know, they pat the hoof, they are cloven footed, they are balanced in the spirit, they are balanced in the word, and they chew on the cud. And they, you know, as they chew the cud, the life of God in the substance of what they are eating begins to sip and permit their whole being. Hallelujah. But there is that which does not have the life of God. And that is what you find in the world. Yeah, there are people who are, you know, like someone would say, disemboweling themselves. That is, everything that represents the life of God in them, they are taking it out of them. And the Bible says we should not partake of that kind of ministry, or that, partake of that kind of spirit, or partake of that kind of, you know, food or life that is being administered. Thank you. Administered unto us. You know, so we're going back to this scripture, Romans 8, that is painting a picture unto us. The picture of the flesh, and then the picture of the spirit. Those are two different worlds. They are two different realities. They are two different dimensions. And each of these is as real as the other.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible says the things that are seen, they are temporal. They are of a lower dimension. But if a man was born, you and I were born into a natural world. But this world was a world of flesh. It was a world of rebellion, in which the life of God was not present. Say amen. The Bible says that he came into his own. What did the Bible say? He came into his own. It's like there was nothing that was in the world that was not made by him. This is John chapter 1, isn't it? All that is in the world was made by him. He came into the world. What happened? Did they receive him?
No.
They did not receive him.
Yeah.
They rejected him. In fact, the Bible says he was killed in a city called Sodom and Egypt. See, wherein our Lord was not resurrected, not welcomed, but killed. But how is it that end time church is very comfortable with the world? Where our Lord was killed, we are comfortable with it. That is a church that is rebellious. And that is the church God is going to spew out of his mouth. I'm telling you, brethren, this world hates God. It hates your Lord. And we cannot be at peace with it. Hallelujah. So, yes, the things in the world, we will use them, but we're not going to be off the world. Hallelujah. So there are things in the world, we need them to be able to function. But the Bible says that the world is hostile. This present world is hostile to God.
Yeah.
But how is it that when I was born with a nature that is comfortable, with a nature that is at peace, with an environment, you know, that doesn't like God. Bible says that they not only do evil, but they delight in them that do so. That's a double anointing. That we not only do evil, but we delight in those who invent, practice, and do evil. Hallelujah. And there is no way that carnal man can please God. So we're looking at the carnal mind and then the spiritual mind. Hallelujah. There are two dimensions. The word translated flesh or carnal is the Greek word sarx. Sarx. S-A-R-X. Sarx. Sarx. That's the Hebrew word, sorry, the Greek word, and it speaks of that which is opposite to the Spirit.
That's right.
It could mean the well, they'll say it means the meat of the body. It speaks of the body. But in the spiritual application, it means that which is opposite to the Spirit.
Yes.
Sex, the flesh. So you have the, you have that, and then you have the Spirit. And the mind or the soul is in the middle. It can go either way. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, if you're reading from, well, the whole of Hebrews, because Hebrews 10 summarizes all the chapters before it. And Hebrews 10 is speaking of a priesthood. He said we have a high priest. And this high priest set an example for you and set an example for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're too quiet. Okay, is it my voice or my... You're trying to catch my pronunciation, okay. Amen. Okay, I'm trying very hard. So Hebrews 10 says we have a high priest. And this high priest did something which everyone who wants to be like him must do.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if I can convey what I feel in, you know, in my heart. But you see, the church is practicing what God cannot recognize. What God does not recognize. He doesn't recognize it. God doesn't know what it is. Hallelujah. Because you only have two: flesh and spirit. It's either we are in the flesh or we are in the spirit. And this church must decide where we are going to be. The leadership in this church must determine where are we going to go to. Are we going to stay in the middle, a little bit of the spirit, a little bit of the flesh? The Bible says, "They were lukewarm, neither hot or cold." God does not recognize what that is. Hallelujah. A carnal church is heading for death. Lifelessness. That the life of God will not be there. To be made up of eagles or vultures that feed on dead things. You know what is dead things? Contentions, strife, bitterness, jealousy, loss, all manner of work. That is where that mind feeds upon. It feeds on gossip. It feeds on backbiting.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Say amen now.
Yeah.
I'm pronouncing that good enough. Amen. Backbiting is that's good. There's no other way to pronounce it. Jealousy. There's no other way to say it but jealousy. Amen. And God says there is a mind that fits on that.
Yeah.
Fits on stories, evil reports, hatred. It is a dimension of life. Politics is filled with intrigue, isn't it so?
Yeah.
Say amen. That's it. That's politics. Backstabbing. You find that in business.
Yes.
You make a deal. A deal means you have used emotional intelligence to cheat someone.
That's right.
That's a deal. We got a big deal. We got a big deal. Hallelujah. There is no big deal in the church.
Amen.
That is carnal. It's death.
Amen.
And the Bible says if we feed on that, we will die.
Jesus.
We can only go down. Hallelujah. It's a choice we have to make. What will you feed on?
Amen.
What do you feed on?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are looking at the lion. So okay, so this that is the mind, that is the will, the emotion, and then you have the desire. The mind is the one that has the face of a lion, isn't it? So, sorry, I'm talking about the emotion, sorry. So that's the that's our lion. with the beard. Okay, I should use black. All right. All right. Now, the lion is looking for what? He doesn't want flesh. There's something he's looking for. He's looking for blood. And God says you must not eat blood.
Amen.
God says you will not eat of blood.
Yes.
Because in it is the life of the flesh. It must be offered upon the altar. Hallelujah. But this emotion feeds on blood. It's feeding upon the weakness of your brother, or of your wife, or of, you know, whether it's the horizontal relationship, another brother or sister. That's what the lion, that's what gives lion life. Hallelujah. You know, the young people like text messages, isn't it? They are on Facebook.
Facebook.
Oh. So the young people can spend 4 hours on Facebook. What is that? That's a lion-like activity. It's called lion activity. They're feeding on what their friends are telling them. Laugh out loud. All those Facebook languages. Now when they read it, they're happy. Or you get an email. Hallelujah. But that emotion can also feed on the energy of God. Can feed on the life of God. Some of us, we receive life when we watch a movie, isn't it so? Or watch a television program. We eat good food. We receive energy. We receive life. Hallelujah. And you go from one good food to the other looking for life. It's like a woman at the well. She's looking for life. She feeds and feeds and feeds, yet she's still hungry. Hallelujah. Because God said that in that dimension, in that realm, there is no life. It's called carnal. Yes, there's carnal life, but there's no life. There is only one life that can satisfy.
Amen.
And it is the life of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So I have to determine what will my emotion feed upon.
Yes.
Am I going to feed on the life of God or feed upon the weaknesses of others? How does the lion feed? He waits and he's looking for the little antelope that is astray, you know, that is not with the pack. And that's what God the devil does. He begins to take you away from the body. How does he do that? Offense. The Bible said there must be offenses. Offenses will abound. But woe to him through which he comes. To overcome offense is a decision. That's how you go. Because I'm not perfect. Your wife is not perfect. Your husband is not perfect. Your brethren are not perfect. The people in the church are not perfect. It's not a perfect church. They are not perfect now. We are pushing towards perfection. It will cease until we all come.
Yeah.
It's when we all come, then offenses will cease. So what do you do before you get to that point? You decide not to be offended.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me."
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when we talk about offense, there are some of us who are offended in God. So we are offended in one another. You're offended in ministry. A ministry is coming and you're offended with him. That means you have shut out. God cannot function. You are out. Do you understand? You're out.
Right.
So God is bringing life to you. Say, "No, I don't want that life." If it's coming from this source,
Amen.
It's dead. In other words, the life that God is giving to you to deliver you from a situation, you say, "I don't want it." The lion is coming for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That means operating in a very low zone. That you may be offended with your wife, or offended with your husband, or offended with your children, or offended with your parents, or people you work with. I know some of us are really, when we say you are emotional, some are proud that they are emotional.
That's right.
I used to tell people that it only takes a little thing to get me angry. I was very proud of that. It only takes a little thing to get me angry. I was very proud of that. So what happens? I am wearing my emotions as a dress. You dare not touch. Anywhere you touch, I'll be offended. If you don't look very well at me, I get offended. If you don't greet me very well, I get offended. If you greet me too good, I get offended. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I'm made for the lion to feed upon. Hallelujah. And you know, that's what happens in church. The emotions are the lowest dimension of the soul. And that's why God will not talk to you through your emotions. God speaks to you through the mind. That is the east gate. So this is the east gate. This is the east gate. And the Bible said there's a door for the prince. That's what Ezekiel tells us. That this gate is only opened to the prince.
Open to the prince.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That door should only be open to the prince.
Yeah.
So no other will enter into the temple through that door but the prince. Hallelujah. So you can decide to be emotional. That means you have, many things affect you. When you feel good, then God is good. When you feel bad, God is bad. So the devil has you set up. All he needs to do is to make you feel bad.
Right.
And he can continually make you feel bad.
Enough.
Then you are living, you are running from one badness to the other. You go from one bad feeling to the other feeling. Because that is where you have chosen to dwell. Mm-hmm. At the realm of feelings.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That kind of soul cannot be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Cannot qualify.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Cannot qualify. And that is why God is saying we must repent. Now, the repentance that God expects from me and from you has to be unconditional.
Amen.
Scripture. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes.
That is the divine order.
Mm-hmm.
You repent to God based on what God is saying to you. Even if your brother is not repenting. Even if your sister is not repenting. Even if the people you are contending with don't want to repent. You as an individual, you will have a responsibility to respond to God.
Amen.
And that response must be unconditional.
Right.
Even if it is only you that will follow God, then you have to do it.
Yes.
So the man said, I and my household. That's the household. These four guys.
Hallelujah.
That's the household. I and my mind.
Amen.
I and my emotion.
Yeah.
We will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
That means I'm only going to respond to the word of God. That is the east gate.
Amen.
So, nothing else is going to move me. I'm not going to be moved by how I feel or how I don't feel. Now, if the devil knows that you're not moved by feelings, he will leave you alone. He runs from you. If he knows that you are only moved by the word of God, then it becomes more difficult for him. The only thing he can do is to bring a wrong word to you. But it's easier to, the Bible says, test the spirit to know whether they are of God or not. But how is it that we are not functioning at that level? We have all the back doors open. So all the back doors are open. So the devil can speak to us from our minds. So from our emotions. From our desires. And you know, we live in a society. I've been going through some of the stores you have. And I'm asking. I asked Sister Nancy, I said, all these things in this shop, do people buy them? I enter a shop, there are so many candies. One row filled with candies. Another row filled with different types of tea. There's about 20 types of tea. I'm asking, do people buy them? Hallelujah. That you are living in a place where the desires are running wild. The desires are running wild. You have advertisements. All kinds of advertisements. What are they saying? They are speaking to you. And we respond to those things that come to us. Instead of responding to the word of God.
Yeah.
I mean, so the people talk about, what do they call it? Panic buying. Yes. You know, those who have shops, they know the way they make money is through those who buy things spontaneously. That you're going to the shop, you didn't plan what you're going to buy. Say, let me just go to the shop. If I go there, anything I like, I buy. That is the wrong way to shop, isn't it?
Amen.
Isn't it so? You make a list. And then you go straight, buy what you want, and you pick it and go. But you see, the devil knows that we like to buy spontaneously. So you get into the shop, there are all kinds of things calling your attention. And that's how it is in the spirit. That there are things coming to us from different quarters that we hardly have any time to even hear the word of God.
Amen.
And God is saying we must stop being a carnal people.
Amen.
We must be a people that are listening for the word of God. Our minds must be opened. The Bible says, another voice they will not hear. They will only hear the voice of the shepherd. So my mind must be trained to hear the word of God. Now someone says, I cannot hear God. That's not true. Everyone is created with the ability to hear God. But you see, you train your heart to hear the word of God. You must train. Samuel was not trained. Isn't it so? He wasn't trained to hear the word of God. He heard. And I'm telling you, you hear also. But you see, there are other voices also speaking. Because we have a nature wherein all the doors have been opened to hear from these other voices. As we begin to, Bible says, if by the Spirit you put to death the flesh. What that means is that by the Spirit of God you begin to block the other voices.
Amen.
So that even when they are speaking, you are not hearing, because
Amen.
You have blocked those channels.
Hallelujah.
That the only channel you are hearing is the voice of God. And God can speak to you all the time. To hear God is in a frequency of life. It's another dimension that you can turn into, and you are hearing God all the time. Ezekiel says, the word of the Lord came to me on so day. It was clear, it was definite that God spoke to him. But because we our minds are not tuned to God, when we have a problem, we panic. We don't know the voice of the Lord. Because we have not been hearing him anyway. We have been hearing and listening to other voices. And God is looking for a church that would have blocked every other voice. They only hear the voice of the Lord. Who would like to marry a bride that has many other admirers? That is, you are going to marry someone, but she's busy receiving text messages from different men. Who would like that? That is, she says she wants to marry you. But you take up her cell phone, you see messages from Johnny, from Charles, from Henry, from 10 different men are sending her text messages. And she says she loves you. Who will believe that? So how do we expect God to believe us? He said, Lord, we love you. No problem. But we are hearing from different men. From different spirits. Hallelujah. A bride should only hear the voice of one spirit. And that spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. So it's a very easy test. When you stop hearing from other spirits, then you know you are part of the bride. Hallelujah. When you stop hearing from other spirits, when you stop submitting to other spirits, then I know that I'm no longer married to other husbands. But what we find is that the church is playing the harlot. The church says it loves the Lord, but it has many other husbands, many other spirits that we are joined unto. And God is asking for repentance. So we see from this scripture in Romans 8, Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. We can't even get there, but I want to show you a picture. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 that Jesus broke through the veil. Jesus broke through the veil. He broke through his own flesh. And of course, you know the story in Matthew 52, where the Bible says that Jesus gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was broken into two. And the Bible says that Jesus is our high priest. Then another scripture says that he is a firstborn from the dead. He is a firstborn. He is the first man to break through the veil of the flesh. And he broke through the veil of the flesh as an example for us that we also must also break through the veil. And it may interest you to know that it is when you break through the veil that you become a priest.
Hallelujah.
It is when you break through the veil that you become a priest. Hallelujah. It is when you overcome the flesh that you become the priest. It is when I break through the veil that I qualify to be a priest. I'll say it again. It is when you break through the veil that you qualify to be a priest. After the order of Melchizedek, which is Christ. It's not when you come to Skylar Conference. It's not when you come to Fellowship in Christ Conference or go to any other fellowship. Those things don't make you a priest. Hallelujah. It's when you break through the flesh. That is when the four dimensions of your soul are no longer under the covering of the flesh. Hallelujah. I've tried to use many words to just describe one thing. That the flesh of man is under the covering. There is a covering over the flesh of man. And that covering is called flesh. There is a covering over the mind of man. And that mind, that covering is called flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To break through the flesh is not an option. It is not an option. It's not something whether if you like you do it, when you don't like you don't do it. To break through the flesh is the beginning of your offering to God. Hallelujah. To break through the flesh is the beginning of the offering.
Amen.
When you look at the tabernacle of David, that's the tabernacle. There's no veil. And in Acts chapter 15, the scripture says very clearly When the brethren came together, who was it that said so? Is it not James? He said that this is that which was spoken in the scripture. Hallelujah. That I will raise again the tabernacle of David that has fallen down.
That's right.
The New Testament experience is the experience of the tabernacle of David. Are we agreed on that?
Amen.
Are we agreed?
Yes.
Amen. Okay. Are we agreed?
Amen.
Let's say amen if we agree. Okay. There's a trap there, so you're in the trap now. Okay. So if the New Testament experience is patterned after the tabernacle of David, then we can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay? We can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, as long as Moses is read, what happens? That there is a veil over the mind.
Yeah.
There is a veil over the mind. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Say amen now. There is a veil over the mind.
Yes.
There is a covering over the mind. There is a covering over the emotions, over the desires. That covering keeps the soul within the realm of the flesh. Hallelujah. Keeps the soul. Hallelujah. And that's why I say, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not leave my soul in hell.
Hallelujah.
Thou will not leave my mind. My mind was not perpetually made to be under the covering of the flesh. So Leviticus 25 says, the land or the mind shall not be sold forever. Do you understand the principle of Jubilee?
Yes.
We have come to Jubilee.
Praise
Jesus opened the book and read. Hallelujah. Say, this day, this scripture fulfilled in your midst. There is a Jubilee for us. Hallelujah. And the Jubilee says the land shall not be sold forever. That is Leviticus 25. It says, if a man sells himself to slavery, or he sells his land, he is poor, he sells his, you know, his house, his inheritance, which also includes the mine. Hallelujah. The Bible says, on the day of Jubilee, when the trumpet blows, that whatever has been sold is restored.
Amen.
That is the principle of Jubilee. When the trumpet begins to blow, every slave, as he hears the trumpet, says to his master, my deliverance has come. But what we find is that the people of God love to be in deliverance, be in bondage. We are hearing the sound of Jubilee, and we say to our master, I like where I am. I want to remain where I am. And the Bible says that when you do that, that they will use a hot awl and do what? Pierce through the ear. As a sign that you are sold forever. Hallelujah. We have a choice.
Yes, we do.
We have a choice. The end time church has a choice. To continue at this land or to walk into our Jubilee. No amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have a choice to make. Hallelujah. There is a covering over the souls of men. It's a realm of carnality. And the Bible says that flesh and blood.
Yes, that's right.
That dimension cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is for those who break through the flesh.
Amen.
It's for those who break through that covering. When a baby is born, do you know what the baby has done?
Yeah.
It has to break through the matrix.
Yeah.
You break through the matrix. The matrix speaks of the world. It speaks of Egypt. It speaks of the flesh. It speaks of carnality. Do you know that this world is covered by the heavens? There's a covering. There's a natural covering over you. Hallelujah. There's a natural covering. And spiritually too, there is a covering. And that's what 2 Corinthians 3 is saying. That as long as Moses is read, there is a covering. Hallelujah. But when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be broken. It is not bad news. It is good news. It's good news for those who want deliverance.
Hallelujah.
From the realm of the flesh. Now, you cannot want deliverance from the flesh when you are comfortable to remain under the flesh. Hallelujah. What do you desire in your heart? Do you desire deliverance?
Amen.
Do you want your mind delivered? Do you want your emotions delivered? Do you want your desire delivered? Do you want to come into the place of life?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do we desire such?
Yes.
Do we have a passion?
Hallelujah.
During Azusa Street, at the beginning of the 20th century, there was a passion. There was a passion for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Do we have such a passion? Hallelujah. Do we have such a passion?
Amen.
Do we have such a passion?
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll show you an example of passion. There was a young man, he was in the garden. And when he began to pray, the Bible says, the sweat that was coming from him was like drops of blood. That is passion. That is passion. Do we have that kind of passion, brethren? The Bible said that we have not striven or resisted sin unto blood. Do we have that kind of passion? Do you feel that kind of energy? That we want to overcome the flesh.
Yeah.
We want to break through the flesh.
Amen.
We want to break through the coverings over our mind. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus set an example. He broke through his own flesh. As an example that all those who want to come and be called like Christ or Christians or little Christ, that we also must break through the realms and the coverings over our minds, over our souls. Hallelujah. Brethren, there's religion. But there is life. Which one do we want? Do we want religion or we want life? If we want life, there is just one way. It's beyond the flesh. Hallelujah. The life of the spirit is beyond the flesh. To break through the flesh, we come into the realm of life. That's what Hebrews 10:9 says. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest through the veil. So if we will put an imaginary line here, assuming this is the veil, and the ark is here, and this is the place of glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We come into life when we break through the veil.
Amen.
And I find that among end time people, we feel breaking through the veil is something that will happen in the year 2050.
Oh, no.
So we shall break through the veil. Beyond the veil, I long to come in the year 2050. Hallelujah. Are we breaking through the veil now? Are we breaking through the veil now? Are we willing to break through the veil now?
Amen.
God says we believe ultimate reconciliation. We believe ultimate reconciliation. We believe that we are going to, that we are among the people. We are in the priests. But we are not doing anything about breaking through the veil. A man that doesn't believe ultimate reconciliation will change. He will change from glory to glory. Someone who is getting worse, their emotions are getting worse than what it was 1 month ago, believes ultimate reconciliation. Because if you don't believe it, you will be changing. We must change from glory to glory. If you are not changing, then you believe that when you don't change, God will give you the glory. That's what it means. When you come out from Mahomet, you have to make a decision. If you go right, you go to Champagne, isn't it so? You go left, you go to Bloomington. See, I'm beginning to find out all these things. You go right, you are heading for Champagne. You go left, you are going to Bloomington. You make a decision where you want to go. Someone turns right to go to Champagne. He says he's going to the airport in Bloomington. And he's driving very, very fast. He's going to the airport. And he's going east. But the airport is west. That is what is happening to us. We are walking in the flesh. And we say we want to become the priest. That we want to be the bride of Christ. The two cannot meet. There are two different worlds. Take notice that in this world is the same dimension of heaven, the same dimension of hell.
Right.
Heaven and hell are within in this room. They are only in different dimensions.
Yeah.
And the soul of man must either go one way or the other. Yeah. Your soul is either is operating in the realms of flesh or operating as one who has broken through, or someone who is breaking through the flesh. How do you break through the flesh daily? Paul said, I die daily.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You die daily.
Amen.
So, did you die yesterday?
Yes.
Did you die yesterday?
Yes.
Did you die last week?
Yes.
By the way, somebody says there is a reserve of death for many of us. Because we have not died for a long time, we have a reserve. Hallelujah. We have an arrears of dying. When you are not dying, you will accumulate an arrears. Yes. So the Bible says, Paul says, I die daily. Hallelujah. He says, shall Jordan be swallowed in a day? Jordan speaks of death. He says, from glory to glory. So we all, with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory. My emotions should be changing. My desires should be changing. My mind, my will, my heart should be changing. That's how you know they are breaking through the veil. Hallelujah. So are you changing?
Amen.
Are you becoming a new person?
Amen.
Your appetites, are they changing? Are your appetites going from natural things to spiritual things? What are your priorities? What are the things that matter to you? What do you spend your money for? What do you spend your time for? What kind of friends do you have? Who are the people that influence you? What are the things that matter to you? Are they changing? Are they changing? Little by little, he's changing me. Isn't it so? Line upon line, he's changing me. Amen. And we are being changed unto a glory, unto an image. You see, we all with an open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed from glory to glory. We must break through the veil, brethren.
Hallelujah.
There are some who have come and they said, I cannot break through the veil. I will not break through the veil. Those people should not be your friends. There are people who have come to the veil and they have decided that they cannot break through the veil. That they do not have the ability to break the veil. That it is not possible to break through the veil. That no man has broken through the veil before. So, as far as they are concerned, they are not going to attempt to break through the veil. There are such a people in the church. You find them in the end time church.
Yes,
hallelujah. So the end time church is filled with relics. Relics of past glories. We were in the Rockford conference. We were in the Aso conference when the Lord moved. Hallelujah. The Lord is not doing anything new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have been attending Scala conference for the past 20 years. I think it's new. It's time to move on to other things. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Hallelujah. There are many who have turned back. Hallelujah. Jesus asked them, will you also go back? He asked them, so will ye also go back? It's a decision you have to make. Hallelujah. You must make that decision. If you are going to go back, or you will be among those who press on to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Where are you going? That's the question. Where are you going? What are you pressing onto? There are two ways to go. Either you press on to the breaking, the saving of the soul. The soul is saved when you break through the veil. That is the salvation of the soul. Because when you break through the veil, it means you lose the ability to function in the level of the flesh. That's what it means to break through the veil. You cannot be carnal. You don't dwell in the carnal realm. You dwell in the presence. You feed on God. You feed on the energy of God. You feed on the life of God. That is your life. That's what it means to break through the veil. That means the soul has been saved.
Hallelujah.
But there are some who say, no, we cannot attend to that. So the Bible says they draw back unto perdition. Let's turn to Leviticus 16 so that we can see it. Leviticus 16. Reading from Leviticus 16 is a chapter for 2011.
Amen.
And it's going to be the chapter for the next few years until God changes it. Do you know why? Because we have come to the Day of Atonement.
Yes.
That's where the church is. For a long time, we have been blowing trumpets. And God said, okay, enough of trumpets. Let's go into action.
Yes.
So we have come into a new feast called the Day of Atonement. And this is where you separate the boys from the men.
Yes.
This is where you separate from the girls from the ladies. Hallelujah. This is where Lot and Abraham separate. That's where we have come to. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's where we have come to.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Up until this time, Lot and Abraham were having a nice time. Isn't it so?
Amen.
They were working together, farming together, did everything. Fine. God says, no problem. On the Day of Atonement, something new begins to happen.
Amen.
And I want to tell you by the word of God that that is where we have come to. Hallelujah. It's a very dangerous place. Hallelujah. So, the whole chapter of Leviticus 16 is addressing the Day of Atonement. To be clear in our minds, because I'm just assuming, I don't want to assume, the Day of Atonement is part of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles has three dimensions, three experiences. By the way, Jesus kept the three feasts. Jesus, your Lord, my Lord, kept the three feasts. And there is not one of us who will dare say he will not keep any feast. Nobody has the authority not to keep the feast. Hallelujah. Because we follow the Lamb whithersoever he's going. You know, so anywhere he goes, we follow him. So he went to Passover. He went to Pentecost. And in John chapter 7, the Bible said that when the great day of the feast came, that great day of the feast, that is speaking of tabernacles, he came to the temple. And he cried with a loud voice, saying that let him that is athirst come and drink. Out of the belly of him that believeth will do or flow rivers of living water. And he says, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Hallelujah. So it's very clear what we're talking about. We're talking about this last experience. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, three times in a year shall every male, there are no females in the house of God, shall every male keep the feast.
Amen.
If you are a son of God, you are called to keep the feast.
Amen.
Three times.
Yes.
In your lifetime.
Hallelujah.
You must be born again. Huh? You must come to the barley harvest. You must come to the Pentecost, which is the wheat harvest also.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the church, we've gone through that. Azusa Street has taken care of that, isn't it so?
Yes.
And we are now in the last feast. Hallelujah. For the past century, the trumpet has been blowing. Move on. Move on. And God says, now we have come to the second dimension of tabernacle, which is the real feast. Hallelujah. That is the place of preparation. So tabernacles has blowing of trumpets, which is announcing that we should go beyond Pentecost.
Amen.
That we should come out of Pentecost. And we've had great trumpets blowing. There have been many ministries God has raised in the land.
Yes.
Blowing and speaking and pointing us to tabernacles.
Yes.
There are many here who have heard. You know, Brother Bot was, you know, prophesying for our assistance. I know in the spirit. These are people who heard the trumpet.
Amen.
I had the, you know, you heard the trumpet.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And after hearing it for so many years, say, Lord, is it possible that we're actually going to enter into the experience of the trumpet?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, Jeremiah says that my soul has heard the sound of the trumpet.
Yes.
And the alarm of war. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. That trumpet that was blowing is for now.
Hallelujah.
Now is the time of war.
Amen.
What are we fighting against? The flesh.
Yes.
We must fight to break through the flesh.
Amen.
That is the war in Zion.
Amen.
And there's a recruiting officer going around recruiting those who will fight in this war.
Yeah,
I hope you know there is a recruiting officer going around. He is looking for those who are lapping the water or those who kneel down to drink the water. Hallelujah. There is a choosing. God is choosing in his midst. He is choosing in his camp. Hallelujah. There are some who say, no, I cannot overcome the flesh. You are out. Hallelujah. I cannot forgive. And all the, I mean, all the, however you manifest in that dimension, you are out.
Oh,
hallelujah. That is the qualification, is that you must be decided irreversibly to overcome the flesh.
Hallelujah.
You must be, I must be irreversibly decided to overcome the flesh. That's the qualification. If you come to that place, you are enlisted.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we're reading Leviticus 16. Verse 16 says, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. If you have a marker, mark verse 17. Go home and look at it. He says, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement for the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregations of Israel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now he's saying that on the day of atonement, the high priest goes. Okay? He goes through the high priest goes and he breaks through the veil.
Amen.
On the day of atonement.
Amen.
There's no other time in which you are allowed to break through the veil except on the day of atonement.
Yes.
That's one. Two, there's only one man so anointed, so appointed to break through the veil, and that is the high priest. Number three, the only way you can break through the high priest is what? To be inside the high priest.
Yeah.
On the day of atonement. Because that is the only way forward. In the high priest.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you are not in the high priest, there is only other way out. Backward. So on the day of atonement, everybody here goes out. Everybody here goes out. There are two levels. The priests were the ones who were here. Then the Levites were here. Plus the congregation. But on the day of atonement, everyone goes out. There's only one way. So it's either you are going this way, or you are going that way. And that is where we are now. And the only way I can move forward is to be what? In
Christ.
In the high priest. How do you get into the high priest? By being eaten by the high priest. By the high priest has to eat you. You are in the high priest's tummy. Hallelujah. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come to him and sup with him and he with me. Hallelujah. So this is the time when men are going into Christ. This is the time when we must be beheaded. Because that's the only way to get into the high priest. You must lose the head. There is only one head.
Amen.
One head.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you lose your head, you qualify to enter the high priest.
Praise God.
If you refuse to lose your head, you can't qualify and you are driven out. So the end time church, whether we like it or not, God is going to release circumstances, situations in our midst that will bring every man to a point of decision.
Yes, that's right.
Are we going to move forward? Or are you going to go back? And it's going to be an individual decision.
Right.
Hallelujah. And it's a decision that will be tried. Because you must be irreversibly decided and committed to go forward.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that means offenses, poverty, nakedness, peril, tribulation, death, disease, sickness, all those things, it will be there. But we must rise above the flesh. Hallelujah. You must decide to rise above the flesh. To rise above all the things that the devil is bringing. You must decide to rise above them. And when we rise, then we're able to come to the point when we can break through. Hallelujah. So that's where the church has come to the point of breaking through. Hallelujah. We don't have time to go into the details of breaking through. Hopefully, by God's grace, we'll be able to get into it. But what we're trying to show is to show the direction. To understand. The Bible said that the children of Issachar were there who knew the times.
Yes.
What Israel ought to do.
Yes.
Do you understand the times? Do you know what Israel ought to do now? Do you know what God is saying to the church now? Hallelujah. Is there any other salvation? Is there any other way to go?
No.
Hallelujah. Is there any other option?
No.
Well, you have to be convinced.
Amen. Amen.
But Jesus asked them, "Would you also go?" And he said, "Lord, there's no other option."
No option.
Hallelujah. If you have an option, then you're in trouble. If you have an option, then you are in trouble. So, if I were you, or if I were myself, I would bring all my options to God. I say, I offer them to you. I offer you all my options. I don't want any other option but you, Lord. Hallelujah. He said, no, whom have I in heaven or on the earth?
He
said, there is none other. Hallelujah. Amen. The church has come to the point of breakthrough.
Amen.
And I must be in that number.
Hallelujah.
There's no negotiation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Someone calls me and says he's from Nigeria and that I'm from Nigeria. I'm not a Nigerian. I'm from Zion. I was born in Nigeria. Then I am from Zion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So when the judgment comes for Nigerians, it will not touch me. When they come looking for Nigerians, they will not find me because I'm not a Nigerian. That must be your attitude.
Yeah.
You must not be an American.
Yeah.
You must overcome the American veil.
Yeah.
There's an American veil.
Yeah.
When you overcome the American veil, then you are no longer an American. But as long as you remain under that covering, then in the spirit, there's a label on you.
Yeah.
This is an American. This is a Britisher.
Yeah.
This is a German. And you will not be able to overcome. So we must come to the point where we go beyond these distractions.
Amen.
These distractions, brethren. Hallelujah. Where you are born, where you are not born. The school you went to, the school you did not go to, who your father is not, Whether you have food or you don't have food. Whether you are educated or you are not educated. Whether you are poor or you are rich. All those are distractions. Hallelujah. We are looking at the price. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a price. Hallelujah. That price is to be a son of God.
Hallelujah.
That price is to be a joint heir with Christ. Are you willing to negotiate that so that you become an American? Would you negotiate America for being a joint heir? That is the price. We are called to be a joint heir with Christ. And Christ is the eternal Son of God. I don't know if you understand. The price is high. The price is not to be a preacher, or to be a prophet, or to be an apostle, or to be an elder. What a poor ambition. To be an elder is a very poor ambition. To be a prophet is a very miserly ambition. To even be an apostle is a very low ambition. Hallelujah. My ambition is to be a son of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's my ambition, to be a son of God.
Yeah.
To be a joint heir with Christ.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's nothing that can compare to it.
Nothing.
The joint heir is part of this Godhead. Hallelujah. Because Christ is the eternal Son of God. Hallelujah. Christ is a many membered body.
Yes.
That has a head.
Yes.
Called Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. He is the head of Christ. Do you understand? And the Bible said that he will bring many sons unto glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's not going to be there alone. See, he did not think it robbery. He didn't think it was something he should do. Even though he had the right to be Christ alone. He says, I will not be Christ alone. I will share it with many sons.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they will come from America, some will come from England, some will come from, say, from every tribe, every tongue.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is the calling that we have, brethren.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. But you see, we can decide to change it so that you become a successful doctor or a successful real estate agent or a successful housewife that knows how to cook different recipes. That is your ambition. Hallelujah. That can be your ambition. But someone says, my hope, you know, says that my soul has heard the songs of saints on higher ground.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What have you heard? What are you desiring for? Hallelujah. Some can decide, says that some will decide to abide, you know, at this dimension, but my soul has no desire to stay where this abounds. So I have heard the song of sin on higher ground. Hallelujah. You know, Brabot was talking about the man that killed how many of his children right before him. Hallelujah. Because he said, look, it's better to be in heaven than to abide. Hallelujah. There were some, they threw them to the lions. As the lion was coming, they were singing. They were praising God. Death did not mean anything to them. Do you understand? He said they refused deliverance. Those are the men who are talking about, brethren. Hallelujah. Those are men. He said some were sown by swords. You know, they were all kinds of, they were sown asunder. Some were thrown into pots of oil.
Yeah.
So we are crucified upside down. Hallelujah. So that they without us will not be made perfect. That is the hope of the saints, brethren. The devil has cheapened this our faith, he's brought it down, that we will have despised the callings of the Lord. Because our vision has become blood. But not anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is beginning to open our eyes.
Amen.
To see.
Yes.
He says it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. Say to a crown irresistible. You know, the glory that God, he said that the righteous shall shine forth as the stars.
Hallelujah.
In the kingdom of their Father. Do you know what a star is? Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, our calling is a high calling. Daniel 12 said that the righteous shall shine forth.
Yeah.
As the stars.
Yeah.
In the firmament. Hallelujah. God is taking us from the depths of sin. And taking us to the heights.
Hallelujah.
But that is going to be based on the decision you take now. If you decide to go back, the Bible says that my soul shall have no pleasure in it. Hallelujah. But we are those who press on.
Amen.
To the saving of the soul.
Amen.
We are losing energy, brethren, because
Amen.
We are in a place where we are no longer passionate about breaking through.
Yeah.
When we began to hear the sound of the trumpet, in those days, there was a passion for the fullness of God. But now, when we sing, you don't feel that power. You don't feel the passion. Hallelujah. God calls it midnight. He said, at midnight they all slumbered and slept. Hallelujah. But there's a trumpet saying, behold, the bridegroom cometh. It's a time to arise from the sleep. It's a time to go to God and say, God, make me passionate. Make me a fanatic. We need to be fanatic. That we are passionate and fanatical and unapologetic. No apology to be a fanatic for Jesus. No apologies. Hallelujah. That we are going to be sold out. Hallelujah. So there is an anointing coming. It says the sound of the abundance. Hallelujah. Elijah saw it. He prayed. He sent him. The man went and said, I didn't see anything. There are some who have come, they brought an evil report. He said, we have not seen any rain coming. Hallelujah. The Lord have not sent them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen for the right report.
Amen.
You will see those who have seen the sound of the abundance.
Amen. Amen.
Who have seen the cloud? See, I see the cloud like a man's hand in the horizon.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when the man saw it, he began to run. I would encourage you to run.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why do you run? Because you have seen the rain coming. You must position yourself. You must change your circumstance. Hallelujah. You must begin to take new decisions.
Amen.
You must begin to break down certain decisions. Hallelujah. Someone must decide to move forward.
Yeah.
To move forward means it's a decision.
Yeah.
I'm leaving the past behind.
Amen.
It's a decision that I'm going to leave the past behind.
Oh,
hallelujah. All the people that owed me, I forgive them. You are free. Go with the money. If you are owing me a debt, I forgive you. Go. If you have hurt me, hallelujah, no debtors. Hallelujah. That is the kind of decision we need to make.
Amen.
We are coming to the point where we cut the covenant clean.
Yes. Yes.
We cut it clean. No distractions. Because we have seen something. And when God is sufficiently convinced that we have come to that decision, the rain will come.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is an anointing coming.
Amen.
If you enter any of these supermarket stores, you know there is a great rebellion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Against God.
Uh-huh.
The world is unraveling. The world is turning against God.
Yeah.
And God is going to address that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. God is going to address the rebellion. But he cannot do it until he sees his servants on their forehead. Say, so do not hurt the earth.
Yes.
Do not hurt the earth.
Yes.
Neither the trees. Neither until we see the servants of God in their forehead. So what you are seeing is injury time. God is giving you and I an opportunity to be sealed. When we are sealed, you think you have seen earthquake. You think you have seen tornado. You think you have seen economic crunch. Global meltdown. HIV and AIDS. You have not seen anything yet. Go and read Revelation 17. Sorry, 16. All the plagues.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When it came to the day of midnight in Egypt, Egypt was completely broken. So it's going to be in this world. We are coming to a time when God is going to cripple the world.
Mm.
And you do not want, yes, cripple the world. And you do not want to be an American in that time.
Amen. Amen.
You don't want to be a Britisher at that time. Neither do you want to be a Nigerian.
Amen.
At that time.
Yes.
You only want to be in Zion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I think I'm going to stop at this point. But the point I've tried to make is that God is calling the people to move forward.
Hallelujah.
Move forward.
Hallelujah.
Let us move forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we're moving forward, we're breaking through the veil. It's very specific where we're going to. We are breaking through the veil.
Amen.
And we are breaking into the realm of the Spirit. The life of the Spirit. Into the new priesthood. That is, it's very specific what God is saying and requiring of us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
want to give you an opportunity. I know that we probably have a schedule or something that we need to follow, but we cannot leave here. If there are those of you who are here who have been stirred by this message, who have heard the Lord speaking to their hearts, they want to press on to higher ground.
Yes.
I want you to come up here and to, by your coming, you're saying, yes, I am one of those candidates. I want to be stirred by God. I want the Spirit of God to move in my life, to bring me to a higher place.
Yes.
I'm tired of the place that I'm in.
Amen.
I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough vitality. I don't have enough determination. And I want more of that.
Amen.
I would just like you to come and just come down here. And let us pray together with you to break the power of lethargy, to break the power of the flesh, to break the power of familiar spirits, whatever the case may be. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God brings a message like this for a reason. God brings a purpose in the Word of God to stir your heart, and you are responding. I am responding.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To the position or the place of the thing that God is saying. Hallelujah. And as we pray, you just agree. You just agree. Amen, Lord. This is what I want. This is the place that I'm in. And I want to have that higher ground. I want to be in that Zion company. Hallelujah. And you know what it is that is hindering you. You have the things that you are having to deal with, the fights, the emotions, the mental places, and all of the things in relationships. You know what it is. Just bring it before the Lord right now as we pray. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you just to begin to pray. Just begin to ask God to enter into your circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just pray. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to be listening to you. Nobody but God. Hallelujah. You know what it is. If it's some malady that is hindering you in your soul, then God, this thing is bothering me and it's hindering me and it's keeping me from moving on. If it's a lack of appetite for the things of God, God, there's this lack of appetite. There's this lack of desire that I have for you. If it's a desire for things in the Lord, in the world, you say, God, I have this desire. I want you to deal with it. I want you to take it away. I want you to create within me a fire that burns. These are the things you need to be praying. These are the things you need to be asking God for. If you want a better relationship with your family, better relationship with your husband or your wife or your children, if these are the things that are hindering you, these are the things you need to bring. Say, God, this is what the thing is. Hallelujah. And I'm bringing it to you before you right now that it might be, that you might energize me. That you might touch me. That I might touch you. That there might flow virtue out of the realm of heaven into the realm of my soul. That gives me the power from this day forward to move. I'm resolving. I'm covenanting. I'm making a deal with you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, you see every heart. You see every soul. You see every part and particle of our circumstances, whatever they may be. You see our self-centeredness. Hallelujah. Oh God, and I can just talk to you from my personal position of tribulation and trouble and need. Hallelujah. You see our position, our place, Lord, of our lack of energy for you, our lack of desire for you. My God, we're asking that you increase it. We're asking that you move into our soul, that you have a preeminence in our thoughts and our thinking. Father, we want to reject this carnal mind, this position of flesh, that want the things that we like in the world, God, the food, the comfort, the excitement, or all of the aspects of the world that touch us and makes us want it. My God, we're this morning saying to you that we are wanting something other than that. We are wanting something more of the reality of you and the kingdom of that we have heard with our ears and that have touched our hearts. My God. And Father, the sin that is in our lives, and the sin that is in my life, my God, I'm asking you to deliver me. Deliver me from every propensity, every wicked thought, every action or thing that can be interpreted in a manner of fashion that would separate me from you, God. I do not want to be a company of this part of the thing that is in enmity against you. And the thing said this morning, Father, let us dwell upon them. Let us chew upon them. Let us meditate upon them. Convict us, my God, so that wherever we may be, and the thought comes, we can say, God, forgive me. And help me to overcome in this arena. Help me to overcome in this area. My God, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, we consecrate our soul today. We consecrate our minds. We consecrate our emotions. We are consecrating our desires, my God, that they might work together and bring into subjugation our will to draw closer unto you. We're asking you, God, right now to impart and pour out upon this anointing that brings us to a place of desiring you. My God, open our eyes in the spiritual sense that we see the spiritual the spiritual reality that would excite us and draw us. Yes. Open our ears that we can hear the sound of saints on higher ground.
Amen.
Oh, that it would whet our appetites. Forgive us of every sin. Our sins of discontent, our sins of indifference, our sins of insensitivity, our sins of in animosity, or whatever the case may be. God, forgive us. Oh God, we want to know that we are forgiven.
Yes.
Give us the strength not to participate, but give us the strength to encourage, to bring deliverance, healing. Oh my God, in the name of Jesus. We just submit ourselves to you right now. And Father, we're asking that even as this conference continues on, that we will build from this point.
Amen.
My God, that we will ascend from this point.
Hallelujah.
That we will move in accordance with your desire for us, that we might achieve the fullness of the thing.
Amen.
That you have determined to pour out upon us.
Amen.
In this time frame. Let our conversations exalt you and edify each other. My God, let us have times of prayer and intercession. Oh God, that this work might continue on. God, we are looking with great expectation for the process of deliverance until we come to the completion of it, what it is that you are wanting to do in this time frame. We declare it by the blood and by the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.